Good evening and welcome to the Rissington Podcast. Hello, welcome to episode 9 of the Rissington Podcast. My name is John Hicks, this is my colleague John Oxton.
Hello.
And behind us we have colleagues Simon Clayson.
Hello!
Oh my goodness.
Fucking more editing for us.
And John Dennis.
Hello.
Thank you, John Dennis.
Yay!
Prima donna.
They are busy working, so, you know, so you have to cut some slack. So, no shout-outs this week, I think.
Have you got something? We've got to make a shout-out to Made by Elephant for the awesome, awesome marketing materials.
Yes.
Well, marketing
Tim
materials.
Van Damme.
Gifts, whatever you want to call them. They're super.
Yes. So, we have to say, visit madebyelephant.com.
Yes, we'll put a linky poo
for all your red and black elephant logo needs.
And Lee's velvet felt things.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yes. A shout out for Hicks Made too by me.
Yes. So thank you to Tim Van Damme.
Yeah.
We like you very much.
I asked for some questions on Twitter just as we started recording.
Always a bad idea. Yes.
We've been overwhelmed. So I'm going to pick two.
Okay.
And then
if you don't pick the two I like, I'll pick any more.
Okay. Well, we'll start with two, shall we?
Yields.
This one's from Ed89. No question, but can we have more farmer accents? They crack me up every time. Now that's a question. You silly boy. You idiot.
More farmer accidents.
Oh, you don't know what he's talking about, Jan.
Like more farm accidents.
Farm accidents. Yeah, more farm accidents here. Children, take this pitchfork and run down that hill.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Well, if you so desire, yes. We might do a few more.
We may. Okay. Do you want to do the one from
Drew McClellan?
Pronounceable surname.
Yes. First of all, gingham or velour?
Velour, of course.
I think it has to be velour.
I looked on Wikipedia and I'd like to say spandex. But only in the privacy of my own bedroom.
Which is more important, a full set of kitchen equipment or a spiffy haircut? I'd say a full set of kitchen equipment.
And a spiffy haircut. Full set of kitchen equipment, of course.
Yeah, I think because you can make do your own haircut, can't you?
Yeah, or not bother as I do.
And you can make it spiffy.
Yes.
If you use some various kitchen equipment that you just bought.
Well, you buy some nice knives, cut your hair with your new knives.
Yeah.
Chris Gibbons, I've got to just pull this up. Chris Gibbons quite clearly does not listen to our podcast. Right. Otherwise, why would he be asking us whether we have red or brown sauce on our breakfast baps? Not going to answer that one.
What's next? Now, Drew did have an interesting one, which I wanted to ask, which was, how do you know at which point to give up and give the client exactly what they're asking for?
Right at the beginning, though.
Yes.
When you send out that questionnaire. Are you a shit client?
Yeah. Do I just need to do it as I'm told?
Would you like me to think, or would you like me to be a robot?
Yes.
I
think it usually comes to a point, for me, about three quarters of the way through a job, where they're asking you to do stuff that doesn't make sense, it's actually going to be bad to do, and you have to say, I don't want to do it, these are the reasons, but you are the client, if you want them done, then you'd have to say.
Then so be it.
So I think that's the point, and as long as you've said your concerns, you don't have that problem later when they turn around and say, it's all gone wrong.
And I usually try and make those exchanges in email so that I have a record. Because if they're that kind of client, you want to be able to go back and say, excuse me, you told me to turn that heading into Comic Sans.
Yes. You wanted the flashing background with animated
gifs. No good asking for Apple typewriter or whatever it is now.
But yeah, it's a struggle, isn't it? You try most of the job, you keep on trying to, you know, to do the job that you're supposed to be hired to do.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Fuck it. Give me the money and I'll do what you like. I'm a prostitute.
Excellent.
Steve Marshall, what is it with you two casting your fucking pods all the time? Can't you just keep them to yourselves? I'm going to hit him the next time I see him.
He thinks he's so clever.
He thinks he's so smart, doesn't he? Well, who does he work for, huh? Microsoft, huh?
Well, not yet, but he will do.
I'm talking about it being a matter of time.
Yeah. Whether he wants it or not.
Jealousy's an ugly thing, Steve Marshall.
Should we plunder the Gmail for questions?
I think, and if we haven't answered and you wanted an answer, send us an email. Go on then.
So Sam Brown says, how do you feel living out in the countryside affects your creativity? Do you feel more or less inspired by what you see outdoors compared to that of a city-bound employee? Notably, you have both used leaves as logos in the past. Good point.
I haven't used the leaf as a logo. I had the autumn thing.
The one I designed you.
When? What, on johnoxton.co.uk?
Yes.
That's not a leaf.
What is it then?
It's a blob. It's not a fucking leaf.
And when I first met you, you had the bamboo picture on your website.
Yeah, but that was just me being shit and going to iStock. And I did the autumny leaf thing.
Remember? Yes. Yeah.
But, well, maybe that was...
And you had flowers by the truckload.
Yeah, but they're not leaves, are they? They're flowers.
Flowers have leaves.
I got flowers by the truckload because Dennis fucking missed the brief. Being the extravagant lovey that he is, I asked for a bunch. He gave me a bouquet.
Gave you a whole garden.
Anyway, yeah. Old fucking garden and the caterpillars. Anyway.
It's a good point. And I think it affects your creativity, not good or bad. But... yeah, I definitely feel more inspired by countryside. But then when I go in the city...
I feel quite energised.
Yeah, you get a different kind of inspiration. Mm. And the thing is, in the city, you get more stuff that's designed, don't you?
I always wanted to think that city designers were perhaps more architectural in their approach than organic, but that's probably bullshit.
Well, that's probably quite a good point, actually.
But maybe...
we like more things rounded and blobby and...
messy and...
yeah.
Scruffy and...
scruffy and muddy. Old. And city people... city like designers like it new and shiny and clean, clean, yes. Pointy. Thank you, Sam Brown.
Thank you. Isn't Sam Brown a singer? Didn't he play banjo? Blonde spiky hair. That's Sam Brown, isn't it?
Yes.
And now we've got Jason Donovan.
Or it's his daughter. I can't remember which one it is.
James Donovan, not Jason Donovan. Do you want me to read it?
If you would.
It's the weirdest fucking question ever. But, dear John and John, I'm a regular listener to the Risington podcast and is loving the show. I have two things I would like to say. Mr. Hicks, in Google Earth Maps, etc., when searching for satellite images, put in this search, you might get a Firefoxy surprise.
Yes.
Is that the crop circle Firefox?
Yeah.
Well, we'll put the link to it. And then the second part of that question is, what is your favourite non-web-orientated pastime app, as I get bored very regularly and have nothing to do?
Hmm.
Well, Jason, I would... James, not Jason...
but it is app, doesn't he?
I know.
Non-web orientated. I was thinking...
do you think he means a fleshlight?
Pastime.
You don't know what that is, do you?
A fleshlight? What?
We won't be putting a link to that.
Is that some sort of sex toy?
Yes.
It's always a good bet. If you don't know what it is, it's probably a sex toy. yes. Well, I'm going to ignore the word app because I'm sure that was a... mistake.
Yes.
So it's non-web orientated pastime.
Yeah, I think it's a shame he's bored.
But yeah, it is a shame.
I'm a bit...
I used to go birdwatching, but I don't anymore. Not since the children.
Yes.
And I used to do a lot of gardening, but not so much now since I've children.
I'm just starting to get into gardening because I figure I've got to spend some time with the children, so I might as well be throwing mud at them.
Yeah, exactly. Or making them dig.
Dig! Come on! No, not those!
Just generally being out in the countryside, going for walks.
Yeah, go for walks with my dog. Bought some new bikes recently, go out cycling.
Yeah.
Which is great because we live on the top of a hill, so all the fun starts straight away.
And making Lego things with Daniel, my son.
I'm not into that. Josh likes to do that on his own, unfortunately. But
yeah, there's a few things there. Someone asked me that South by Southwest, what's your favourite thing to do that doesn't involve a computer? So I had to sort of invent hobbies and things I used to do before I was here.
It's like when you write on your CV, isn't it? Like drinking latte, cycling, stamp collecting.
Reading and swimming.
Yeah. I do fuck all. I'm fat and I'm lazy.
But, yeah, it's a good question. So
excellent. Perfectly timed.
Oh, hell.
You can pronounce this.
Yes.
Ludwig.
Ludwig Schut says, here's a question for you.
Oh, but I do like his excellent show, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to stop reading those bits out.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Who, or indeed what, is your favourite British comedian or comedy show? And would you share with us your favourite joke or funny bit from that comedian / comedy show? Very hard question, because immediately Bill Bailey came to mind.
Bill Bailey, Eddie Izzard.
But then Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's one of those two, I would say.
There's got to be Eddie Izzard, but there's so many to choose from. What would be your favourite?
Well, we've got to link to the Eddie Izzard Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, it's in the canteen.
Yeah. Are you Jeff Vader?
I'll kill you with a tray.
This one's wet. This one's wet. This one's
I think that's it. I think we've decided. Yeah, I mean, it's there's that Death Star one.
Yeah. And the other one I like, with the one for me that really set me off like an idiot was the Star Trek one, with the setting that makes the ray gun setting that makes people think they left their oven on.
Yeah.
Attack! Oh shit!
Yeah, that one in the what's that star? That's the Death Star.
It does.
What does it do? It does death.
Yeah. Or the other one is the English Church. Death or cake? I'll have cake, please. Yes.
Or have you got a flag? So yes, that's probably just plunder the Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard is the man, really. But Bill Bailey is also brilliant.
Yeah, because he just asked for British comedians, so I feel safe adding that. Okay.
Now we've got a dart player. Alan Bristow.
Yeah.
Brother of Eric. Hello, John and John. I would be intrigued to know if you use version control system as part of your workflow, something like Subversion. Yes, is the answer.
Yes,
I do, and I have done for a long time.
Now, neither of us use a GUI.
No.
So I've only just got into this recently. You've been using SVN for a while now.
For about 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
It's got 4 years. Fuck off.
It's got to be about 3 years, actually, because it's 2008 now, isn't it? Plus add a year for lying, because that's what you do. That's what you do on the web. I've been designing websites for 10 years. Granted, the first 2 years it was in Word at the weekends, but hey.
The first 5 years are retrospectively.
Yeah. I've been using Subversion since I was 10.
But there's a few good things, like I noticed on the Mac, there's the nice bundle for TextMate
for
using Subversion, which I started using.
Uh-huh.
But then when you showed me the command line instructions.
Yeah, I'll make sure we get a link out for that cheat sheet we've got pinned up, because that's excellent.
That's good. I think, you know, apart from the whole kind of merging and conflicts and
well, I've always found that there's usually somebody more technical available to help you with the merging.
Hmm.
And I don't know, the CSS conflicts can be a bit annoying sometimes.
Excuse me.
Because they're just, yeah.
But
yes is the answer.
I and especially because I like using Coda, as I may have mentioned that before. I don't
yes.
know, may have slipped out. And I can just open a tab and have a terminal.
Yeah. See, I can't get into Coda, but that's another conversation for another day.
Well, another conversation we've already had.
Well, yeah, and Johan Edlund, who is Web Standards Awards man, did ask on Twitter about Coda, but I think we should do a Coda special. Or you can do a blog post about it and we'll link to it. Why I love Coda.
I still love Coda.
Okay.
So there we go. Oliver Kerr asks, JPEGs in Word documents. Oh, yes. Mm. The one that really bugs me at the moment is when clients import a JPEG into a Word document and send it to me to use. I know they're only trying to help, but send me the bleeding JPEG, please.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you experienced this? Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's the it's tiny, but I've resized it in Word. So
yes.
It's huge.
Yes. Yeah. It's all part of the... I mean, it sounds very patronizing, but training clients.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there are things that they know about that you won't, but likewise...
Yeah.
You've got to train them why sending JPEGs. Generally, the problem I have is that they've gone out of the habit of sending them in a Word document, but they still send the lowest res JPEG they can find.
Yeah, you know? It's true. I've started, well, you get that from a print designers as well. It starts the web, you don't need that. We're moving on.
Yes.
Matthew Pennell. Question for Structure: what's that big red ball you can sometimes be seen sitting on in Rissington photos? That is my testicle. More generally, have either of you experienced problems with back, shoulder pain, wrist pain due to any kind of work, and how do you deal with it? Massage, yoga, Alexander technique? Yes, and that's why I sit on my testicle. Technique? No. Wrist pain? Generally give it a bit of a shake. Maybe whilst you're holding something? I don't know.
Something cylindrical.
Something tumescent.
I mean, there's a whole thing about sit-stand working. About you should be changing your position. So rather than always sitting down, having a desk that will let you work at standing position, because we weren't made to be sitting down all day. But they're quite expensive, these desks.
Yeah,
I think you get the ones with handles that do it, and they're about 700 quid or something.
God.
And then the ones that are electric with the pneumatic things that go when you press a button. It's a big horn. Big horn is actually the same.
Yeah, handy when it's foggy.
Yeah.
Watch out, desk coming through.
Yeah, designer.
But I would just say, on the cheap note, go back, get a gym ball if you suffer from back pain, and buy an oversized one. Don't buy a little one. Buy a big one.
And don't sit down for too long. Get up and
well, this
stretch.
Is what the gym ball does. I'm always bouncing around.
I know, but don't, you know, for people who don't want to sit on the gym ball.
Well, what? Because they look, cause they're scared. They look like a prick.
No, because it takes a lot of room up.
Well, it doesn't take that much room.
Not enough room. But it's not for us. But you know, there might be multifarious reasons. Okay. They might have a latex allergy.
Well, I'm just saying it's one... Well, if they've got a latex allergy, then...
Then what?
No dildos for you, boy! Come on.
So, yeah.
Too much porn in this.
That's episode. Another one I get as well. So, yeah, I think just get up and stretch.
Don't be a lazy
regularly.
Fucking geek,
but yes,
basically.
You will have problems. The older you get, especially.
Yes.
Matt Richards is asking... Not a particularly deep or inspiring one, I'm afraid. Oh, well, we'll just go to the next question then.
Yeah, fucking. And he doesn't have a name. Oh, yeah, Richards. Isn't there a... Keith Richards, there we go. Every question's got to have a celebrity associate from now on.
The talented Mr. Adamson and I were debating the use of indentation.
That's Kev Adamson, yeah?
Yes, I think so. Personally, coming from a development background, I prefer nested indented code, whereas Kev prefers to indent once after starting the body tag. So that's quite a simple thing. Do you have a position on this? Does it matter? Is that a personal thing? Do you even care?
Soft tabs is one thing I care about.
Mm-hmm.
Because developers like that when they open it up in Linux.
You could puncture your paragraph tags if it was hard tabs.
Ah, you could. You could deflate your ego if you ran into a hard tab.
Yes. I indent as much as possible just because it makes it easy to read.
Yeah. And I usually let my code editor take care of it as often as possible.
Yeah.
But it's always annoying if you go back and add another div or something.
I don't know if it's worth saying this now, but I've been working with Hamill recently.
Ah, Mark Hamill.
It's going to be a long one.
It's going to be hard work today.
He's the Ruby markup language for... It's a special... I'll point to the website and you can explain it. There's some special word for it that developers use. But it relies very heavily on indentation. And
what,
that's
it
how
it communicate with it.
If you want to nest items, like putting a div inside a div, you have to make sure it's indented by two spaces very strictly, or else it all falls over.
Ooh.
So, well, it sounds bad, but I think I quite like it. Mm. Yeah,
nice and disciplined.
Hamill and Sass is worth looking at, especially the other day you mentioned about arithmetic in CSS files.
Yes,
Sass can do that.
Yeah, Matthew Wilcox, who I believe comes from Corova. We know Corova. Also in Wales. It's the Welsh edition.
Is it Conway again, yeah.
And now Matthew Wilcox, Troy Wilcox. So we're good. Who can answer his question?
Keith Richards, Troy Wilcox. Good, we're good. Doing well so
Eric
far.
Eric Bristow.
So, what do we say?
Blah, blah, blah. I have a question for instruction which plays to experience as both developer and chef. I'm the front-end specialist at work. And I've gained something of a reputation of having rage. This due to my exposure to ISO and resulting abuse hurled at disappointing divs, random crashes and layouts, snuffs that threaten to force me to rewrite my carefully honed XML. Fucking hell, he goes on a bit, doesn't he? Purely because IE6 is a complete dog. This leads me to wonder if there were to be a great British cuss-off, would the battle royale be between a web developer and a chef? Who would fire off more cusses? Who would be the more inventive? In short, which job turns the air?
Oh, right. I thought it was going to be a question about IE6 bugs and...
That's long work, wasn't it? Who swears most, web developers or chefs?
Well, you would know.
Chefs. No doubt about it.
Okay, but who'd be most inventive?
Chefs. When it comes to swearing.
Really?
Much more creative.
Uh-huh, right.
No. The gentle world of interwebs doesn't need to know. They really don't. Cocksucking monkey fuck.
You dropped the F-bomb now and again.
Might have to edit that last bit out.
Or not. Now, we've got a guy called Philip. That's all
we've
got. Do we
have any clues of... No, he's...
No. There seems to have been a trend of casserole-related twitterings this week. Now, yeah, there's a reason for this. And we'll post a link to the YouTube video where you can discover the wonderful fast food that is casserole.
That used to be big in Britain in the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have the documentary.
Yeah.
But, alas, no longer.
It's a huge thing. But... Where does a casserole end and a dish suddenly become a stew?
Ah, well, I think casserole is named after the pot it's made in. And a stew quite clearly has tomato ketchup in it. And a big fucking chunk of bread. Whoa.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Lobscouse. I have to ask Phil Sherry, actually. I think lobscouse has ketchup. I don't know.
What has ketchup?
Lobscouse. You don't know what a lobscouse is?
No.
You're so middle class.
What's lobscouse?
Lobscouse is stew.
Hey, why do you call it the stew then?
Well, because it's lobscouse.
Well, when does lobscouse end and stew begin?
I don't know, but I do know that apparently, traditionally, lobscouse is not lobscouse unless you've burnt the bottom of the pan.
Oh, right.
Which means my missus can make it really easy. Right. Adam Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. Neville Chamberlain. We're good. As a tinkerer on the interwebs, I like to... I like to study new designs and the pixie magic, you call it CSS, that goes into them. So when John... That's John Hicks, quite clearly. Released a new fiddle to his site. I was quick to have a look at the Pixie Cave. This guy's living in a mythical world of magic, isn't he?
I know.
And see what they have done. I noticed that they were carrying a lot of non-system standard fonts in their bag of tricks. To which, my question for the panel is, how many fonts do you think these little blighters could carry before they end up dragging your site down in mass chaos? It appears to be a very logical opposed to font replacement, but how specific could you end up going to try and cover all the bases to satisfy a larger audience? Keep up the good work, tally-ho. Adam. P.S. One last question. Cheese strings, should they really be classified as cheese? No. No, right, back to the...
Yes, no, in no sense. Well, if he went to the Pixie Cave to look at the CSS, he must have gone through the enchanted forest of HTML first.
Oh, God. Kittens are going to die. Because I'm going to kill them.
Yes. I didn't see any problem in specifying lots of fonts. I don't think it's going to cause anything to fall over.
Just important that you remove one systematically and check that it still works with the...
Yeah, yeah. I think even if only one person gets to see it in that font,
that could be your next client.
Yeah, it could make the difference to one person. Mm. And you've got things like Vista, which has got some nice fonts in it, like Calibri. The important thing with choosing fonts is not worrying about how many people have got it, because that's what the cascade's for. You've got your Arial, Sans Serif. You know, you can go down to the lowest common denominator if you need to. And you probably will.
Yeah.
But it's about choosing fonts that work well together, yeah. And not leaping from something like Helvetica to Verdana.
Mm.
So Verdana is a much different... It's sans serif, but it's a much wider font and ugly. I would almost put Verdana above things like, you know, Comic Sans, the favourite whipping boy. Just raise this. Who else likes Verdana? Anybody else?
I don't mind it at a smaller size. It's when it goes big and above about 13 pixels.
Mm-hmm.
That's my objection to it. But as a kind of standard body copy font, it's all right.
Is there a Dennis adjudication on this one?
I'd say it's all right as well.
You're wrong, Hicks. You're wrong.
The middle way.
Bit of Verdana.
Yeah, I think especially for really small text, if you have to do something like 9 or 10 pixels, it works really well.
But why would you want to do that? Yeah, so it would just be silly.
But it is quite readable.
Too small, too big is just wrong.
Yeah, that's what it means. What too small or too big means.
What are we talking about?
Comic Sans.
Oh, sorry.
But I think it's because of the BBC News site redesign this week. And they use big, fat, bold Verdana headings that just look...
I know that people are generally against it, but I'm actually quite like it. It just appeals to me. In a sort of... Maybe I just like the BBC in a way that other people don't.
In a slightly unnatural way.
maybe I just appreciate the effort. There's obviously a lot of effort gone into this. Anyway. So.
There was something interesting. But Mark Bolton... flagged up on BBC Wales site, which is done in Arial.
Oh yeah.
Why is that?
Why didn't they specify Helvetica before the Arial?
Because Arial is a screen font and Helvetica is a print font. So
yeah, but we've got Helvetica as standard on Macs.
But maybe they thought Arial was the right font.
It wouldn't have hurt them just to put Helvetica in before the Arial, just to get that nicer font.
Just because you spent lots of money on the DVD. You think everybody's got to use it now?
You see, that's what going back to that guy's question. See, it's that little bit of care that if they had put Helvetica in, I mean, it's not just Macs. Windows users will have Helvetica too. Not everyone, but the designers on Windows will have.
Who are waiting all for their Mac orders to come through.
Yes. Excellent. So Rob Mason says, "Hey guys, are you well?"
Yes, fine, thank you.
Yep, you're doing all right.
What do you want?
What do you want? How do you get the background image on the podcast site to flex depending on the screen size? It's really well done, but my simple monkey brain can't understand it.
Netscape Layers, isn't it?
Yeah. Netscape Layers. Oh, the big flashbacks now. Dreamweaver 2. Do you want to use Netscape Layers or Internet Explorer Divs? Yeah, it's just there's lots of images. There's a big gradient in the background, and then you've got another div or something with the rays and the clouds. It's just lots of layers and shit.
That was Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a very good one, was it?
Just because the next one is Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Gentlemen.
Matt Carey.
Matt Carey, sorry. You're not running with my theme, are you?
No, I'm not running with it, because they need to know that their name is...
But I wanted them to work it out for themselves.
Okay.
But, okay. It has always intrigued me that you say on your website, if you can take on work and when, we are not currently taking on new projects. Sorry, this is not something I've ever done with clients. Do you find it puts people off? Yes. That's the idea. How many projects do you have on when you say no more? I sometimes just put it to try and get people to beg me to work for them.
So, yeah, it does put people off, but that's the point, isn't it?
I mean,
not that you want to put people off, necessarily, but...
The next, probably following your lead, next time I'll be available.
Yeah. Like, it's. I mean, basically, what does he say? How many projects do you have on when you have to say no more?
Depends.
Too many.
Yeah. Too many and looking around for some help.
Yes.
And then stop.
Scrabbling around, yeah. You know, bugger how
it's
much
that old thing, you put a load of, you'll put a load of proposals in or whatever, and sometimes not all of them come back. Sometimes all of them come back.
It's like... airplanes. They always overbook airplane seats in the hope that some people cancel. And I think it's a lot like that. And sometimes
it goes
not
wrong.
Everyone cancels. Yeah. So, and I have this problem where I've just got clients that just go missing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be all enthusiastic and they'll suddenly get complete communication blank.
Yeah.
Which is very odd.
And very fucking rude, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, I kind of wonder if it's just me or other people get this.
It is rude. I usually push for communications at that point, just on principle.
And some of them, I'd love to name names because some of them are quite well known.
I could probably name a couple of people who've done that to me.
Why do they do that? Yes. You're different now because you're fully employed.
I'm not different. I'm just like you. I just get a regular wage.
You're different and that's bad.
I'm fully employed at the moment.
Yeah. Today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just know that I've got people who have booked me for a certain amount of time in the next few months. So I know that time is now full. So it's a fairly sort of simple equation, really.
First come, first serve, and I can't take on any more work.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about having employees and getting work done that way.
But as you said to me, they're all shit and how can I hire them? Oh no, that was not what you said.
You bugger.
There is a point to that though, isn't there?
Yeah. It's a bit scary hiring people and worrying about whether you've got enough work and money to pay them.
There's also the point of when you do stuff like you do, like icon development and artwork for people, hiring people that are going to do stuff in your style must be quite difficult.
Yeah, that is. It's not because of how good they are. It's, but sometimes that can be the case.
Yeah.
Just get it. I've used some contractors before and I've had some good results.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Radenkovic. You can always feel confident passing people on to him for things like logo design.
He's a bit mad, but he's a bit of a genius.
He's a bit mad. He's a bit scatty. He's a bit Serbian, but he does good work.
But he is brilliant.
But then there's, and then like, just some people.
Some people.
Who I've given work to, and he just ended up having to redo it or, patch it yourself.
I'm sorry. I tried my best.
Yeah, I know. It was crap. So yeah, I've not gone that route. So I'm staying the route of being flexible in the sense of not having to worry about employees, but inflexible in the sense that I'm not taking on lots of jobs. So this is a shame because sometimes, like one time I took on a very sort of very dull job, only to be followed later that afternoon by a really exciting job that I could have taken,
but
I'd already promised. So basically, I'll try and summarise this quickly because it's from Paul Boag and it does go on a bit.
He just wants our traffic, that boy, doesn't he?
Both of you have families, so I imagine you try to limit the number of hours you spend in the office. Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yes, we do. I know we joke about it, but we do don't. You do want to see your kids. However, judging by your Twitter and Flickr feed, you both seem to find time to mess around while there.
Do you know, more and more, Mr. Bag, is just, get a fucking life, will you? Cheer up.
I'd say he twitters more than us, anyway. How many hours a week do you actually do productive work? I'll split this up. Yeah, so let's do that question first. How many hours a week do you do productive work?
I don't know. I really don't know. As many as I can.
I mean, I would say a lot.
I go through phases, but it depends what you call productive. If that's actually sitting down and doing stuff.
Mm.
And it depends on, especially with a job, you know. I had a 4-day week last week because of Easter holidays, and 3 of those days were spent talking to people. It was productive, but at the end of the week I was panicking because I hadn't got.
Yeah, there's a whole raft of reasons why you can't work a full day, and it's not to do with messing around. You know, all sorts of things like IT issues, meetings, illness, all sorts of things. You'll never work an 8-hour day every day, every week. But having said that, I think we're still very productive. And I think a 2-second Twitter, well, maybe not 2 seconds.
Twitter also serves a double purpose for me because I work from home and my boss follows me on Twitter. It's very handy. He knows what mood I'm in, what really thinking about things. So.
And I think he's referring to things like occasionally on Flickr, we'll have things. We have a whiteboard in the office.
Yeah.
And we do stuff on it, like mind maps and things. And it gets flickered. So. But again, you're talking about a very small portion of the week, aren't you?
There was a chef I used to work with, a very good chef. And I used to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. And he used to say, it's not how long you spend here. Mm. It's what you do whilst you're here that counts. So it's not how long you spend doing something. It's the end, you know, if it takes you 20 minutes to knock out a logo and it's awesome, then fine, fuck around for the rest of the day.
I think that's a really good, way of summing it up.
I think when I first started freelancing, I spent a lot of time staring at the screen, just because you don't feel guilty if you spent 18 hours at your computer.
Yeah.
Whereas you're better off spending 6 working really hard.
I think Ryan Carson will probably have a lot to say about this as well.
Yeah.
Because he does the 4-day week.
And they really do the 4-day. Yeah. I thought, oh, they do 4 days, they must work 15 hours a day, but they really do.
They do 4-8, I think it's 8 till 6 for 4 days, and that's it.
Brilliant.
Because the next question was, shouldn't you be working harder and be distracted less? Well, yes, when things can be distractions, and often I'll close down email and Twitter and RSS. So I don't get distractions. Because you can be very easily distracted by that.
Yeah.
Are you going to argue that getting distracted by fripperies is part of the creative process? Well,
sometimes you just have to relax in order to be creative. So yes, I am going to argue that.
I mean, distracted can be a problem. You know, it stops you getting into the flow.
Distracted can be a problem if you're trying to execute. But distracted can be really good if you're trying to come up with a solution to a problem.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, it's that whole, the only time you can fly is if you fall down and forget to hit the floor because you're distracted by something else. That's a good one. Moving on.
But it's a balance. You don't, you do need to let off steam.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big let off steam when we found the casserole video on YouTube because that was one of the things we all remembered, the sketch. And we thought, I wonder if YouTube's got it. And from then on, there was also that quake, wasn't there, an earthquake in Norfolk or something that day?
Oh, the quake, yeah.
And then we had our Quake Aid casserole charity we were going to do. And it's...
Those are creative things in themselves.
Yeah. Just stuff that makes you want to be in the office and work, basically. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Anyone else going to say goodbye?
Cheerio.
No, goodbye, I said.
Goodbye.
Thank you. John Dennis.
See you next time. Good fight.
Super twist. The Rissenden podcast is devised and hosted by John Oxton and John Hicks, with contributions from squadron leader John Dennis. The show is hosted and sponsored, and shit, by the splendid boffins at Segment Publishing. That's segpub.net for you internet chappies. Hurrah!